To go to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 1, and I'm going to just walk through the passage and read the verses one at a time and make some comments, and that'll be the style of the message today. And the title of the message is this: We Need God in America Again. I was trying to figure out a campaign slogan, but I didn't figure it out. Maybe someone can help me. Not MAGA, but something different. We need God in America again. If you can put something together for me, let me know. Amen. Because we need to make that popular. And no politician can make us great again. Only God can make us great again. Amen. I hope we understand that. Verse 2, chapter 1, verse 2, and the context here obviously is a message to rebellious Judah. We do know about this as we've been studying the Old Testament prophets, minor prophets, but I want to make parallels to our nation. I hope you can see that here. Because not only are we guilty of these sins, but we are in need of a response that God calls for in this passage. And so this message does apply. I hope we understand today. In fact, God says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." Let's pray. Father, again, we just bow before you this morning. And Father, we know that without you, nothing could be accomplished in our hearts and in our lives. Father, we thank you for your word that is eternal. We thank you that your word applies today, as relevant today as it was when Isaiah was given this revelation. And so, Father, I pray that this message will ring in our hearts today as it did back then, and that we would truly not be as the nation of Israel or the nation of Judah and rebel, but help us, O Lord, to repent, to turn back to you. Father, that's our prayer for our nation today, to turn back to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So God is calling out and he's saying, listen, everyone listen. I've raised children here. I've brought up some children and they have rebelled against me. You know, we know it's written many years ago, but how does it apply to America? Think about our founding fathers and some of the original documents. Think about all the wars that I just read and all the lives that were given, sacrificed for us today. You see, once we were one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. But oh, how things have changed. We have rebelled against our roots. In fact, not only are we rebelling against that, people are trying to even erase it from our history. They don't want people to know the truth about our history. They don't want people to know, our young people to know, about the founding principles of our country. They don't want to know about our Christian faith. But we as Christians, we as God's people, need to stand up and proclaim the truth and understand the truth. So this message rings out, "Hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth. For the Lord hath spoken." Verse 3. "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know me. My people doth not consider. Listen, what about your pets? Do they know you and love you because you care for them? Amen. What about your dogs, right? Amen. They probably will even fight off a grizzly bear to protect you. How about cows? They come to their owner. They come to their feeding point when his truck appears. They know their owner, amen? Amen. Horses know their owner and his touch as he grabs the reins. The horse will respond even to the slightest input from their master. But us, imagine that. We, as created in the image of God, we, on the other hand, have rebelled against our master. In fact, how many are even afraid to speak the name of Jesus Christ in public, much less fight for him? We forget where our protection comes from, where our sustenance comes from, where our care comes from. We forget, even though we can look back in our history, we can look back as families and individuals, and we know God has provided. But we forget that. And it, can you imagine? We will not even obey his instructions, even if it leaves us at the bottom of a pit. We'd rather not obey him. Verse 4. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are gone away backward. Do we need to spend a lot of time? But we need to mention a few. What is the guilt of our nation? What about the millions of murdered babies? And now if you protest that, they may come and arrest you and take you away because you're standing up for the rights of innocent babies. What about all the sexual perversions in our country? And I did a search, and one thing I was challenged with recently is this. Why don't we as Christians go online and find out where all these stores, what they support, and then do not support them. Put your money where your mouth is. Amen. Amen. Don't just go to the store because it's the first one down the street or the easiest one to go for or it's convenient or things you like. Go there based on principle. Because if things don't change, nothing's going to change in our country if we don't change it. So take a stand, do a search on the internet, and find out what the stores support. Those who support homosexuality and transsexual movements and all that's going on today, do not support them. Amen. Find out the stores that support the family and support our values, and they're out there, by the way. Support them. And I know it's not easy to be consistent, but we ought to be consistent. We ought to strive for it. We ought to do something, is what I'm saying. Even if you don't have full knowledge, you can find out. There's people out here who I'm not telling you to go stand on a street corner and protest, you know, every time there's a protest. I'm saying put your money where your mouth is. You know what's right. You know what you should support, and you know what you shouldn't support, so don't support it. Financially. And so we need to understand the sins that of our nation, the gross sins. And God is calling us evil and corrupt as well. a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. Man, there's a lot of corruption. We know all the perversion that goes on in the internet and through the internet and unfortunately through social media. It's like you can't get away from it when you're online. It's sad. There's corruption everywhere. Have we despised the Holy One? Do we despise God in America? Do we despise His law? Do we want to erase His presence from our society, from our language, from our textbooks, from our history? Do you see what I'm saying? We're taking a stand against the Holy One. That's what they did. They're provoking. We're provoking Him. What would Isaiah preach to us if he was still here today, right? If God sent him to America, what would he preach? Don't you believe he preached this message? And so the problem also is that we are in a mess of our own doing. We can't blame others. We need to turn back to God, or it could be too late. Verse 5. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. What we're saying here is this. There's no medicine that can cure these ailments. You know, no matter how hard, there's not enough government money. There's not enough programs you can throw at these things. There's not enough money the government can spend on these programs. Because the evil is in the heart. Only God can take away this sin. Only God can forgive us and cleanse us and turn us back to Him. There is nothing that a government program can do to save this nation. There's nothing that education can do to save this nation. Amen. We must know where our faith lies. Amen. Verse 7. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Think about what's going on here. I didn't read verse 6, did I? I got it. And thanks for backing me up. Because guess what? We're going back to verse 5. Because you know what? I have it on the back of the page. That's what I'm going from one page to the next. It's double-sided today, not single-sided. So what I'm getting at in verse 5 here is, and I knew I had a long list, but I did want you to see it. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. And so we're talking about the muck and mire of the flesh. We're talking about judgment that will come upon us. And I want to figure out some of the reasons. We have sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasures, idolatry, participation in demonic activities. By the way, some of the things that are being sold are made by satanic groups in these stores. I found this on the web. Let's not participate in demonic activities. Amen. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, divisions. envy, drunkenness, wild parties. Go to Galatians 5, because the New Testament gives us a list of this flesh, the sins of the flesh, the wickedness that we're seeing all around us. In verse 19, it says very clearly, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, what? Witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of which I tell you before, as such as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And you think about pride. You know, pride is what's driving. It's a driving force to be doing all these things, rebellion against God. Let's not blame our past, our lack of opportunity. Let's not blame our family. Let's not even blame our circumstances. And let's not blame our enemy. All of this wickedness, all of this sin is our burden to bear. It's because of us, not because of them. It's us. It's our choice. How long will this go on? Well, either we're going to repent and receive restoration from God, or the end will come and we will be judged. That's the choice. We must choose for ourselves and for our country. It's going to be too late soon. Isn't it sad when we think of the whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint, that people don't even know how sick they are? They don't know how injured they are. They don't know how diseased they really are. And we try to hide it. We try to cover it up or remain blissfully ignorant of our situation. Let's not be like that. And so verse 6, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises, putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified. We are sick, and I want you to think of this, from coast to coast, from border to border. There is no section in the body of America that is unaffected by the raging disease of evil and apathy. It doesn't matter. Idaho and Montana, they're covered with sores. California and North Carolina, they're festered and oozing wounds. Welts have risen up in Texas, Ohio, and North Dakota. It's everywhere. Verse 7. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. Just get the picture in your mind of September 11th, 2001. When you watched of that devastation as the World Trade Center collapsed, as the Pentagon burned, as thousands were murdered that day. Is there any fire? Is there any mention of strangers devouring, as a mention of fire here? You see, we need God in America. Amen. Don't blame God for this. That's where people make mistakes. We can't, in our arrogance, we can't blame God. Amen? And maybe in our arrogance, we didn't think it could happen or that it would happen. That's the problem. It's pride. So we need to humble ourselves and turn back to God. Verse 8. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. What happened? How do you think New York City felt right after the attack? How did Oklahoma City feel when the Murray Building was blown up? They felt helpless, under siege, frightened. These things happened in our country. These things we need to understand and we need to take it to heart. Verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Aren't you thankful for the faithful few that are left? Amen. Aren't you thankful that there's always a remnant? Aren't you thankful that there's obedient followers of Christ? There's obedient churches today. And this should give us hope. Amen. We need to keep working for God. We need to keep preaching the truth to our neighbors and to the community and to the world. We need to keep sounding out the alarm that judgment is coming. Amen. We need to call our nation back to repentance. Just think of where we'd be without God-fearing souls in America. Or what any country would be like without God-fearing souls. I'm thankful for these few. I hope you are too. Amen. Verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. And so here's the message. And you see the play on words. He said, we should have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. But now he's calling the rulers, you are Sodom and you are Gomorrah. And so God is speaking directly to the leaders of our country. Whether they be political, religious, or corporate. God is saying, hear the word of the Lord. Give ear unto the law of God. You need to repent. You need to turn to God. Follow His law. Follow His instructions. Follow His precepts. Amen. You got a choice here. You're either going to follow what the world is offering, go down this path, or we are going to turn and follow God. There's no other choice. Verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. God is disgusted. I can't even imagine. You know, I don't know how you feel, but you have a person running for office whose life totally contradicts God and the Bible and the truth of God, but yet they'll be saying, God bless you and God bless America. You know what? God is disgusted with that kind of speech.
Amen.
Because it's empty. We ought not to just try to placate our own conscience with giving or showing up for church just for publicity. How much is for publicity? Our leaders should spend more time in prayer in the prayer closet than in the boardrooms or the city hall or in the Oval Office. They need to be in the prayer closet, amen.
Amen.
And it's sad. We have false hope. How many of them go to false churches or in false religions? And they believe, oh yeah, I'm doing this and God's going to accept me. I've done enough sacrifice. You can never do enough sacrifices that will redeem you of your sin. You can't do it, amen. God wants faith in His sacrifice, the sacrifice of His Son. That means turning from false religion, turning from your false church, and turning unto Jesus Christ.
Amen.
verses 12 to 14. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. What is God saying? He's saying everything. Traditions, religions, holidays, festivals. God is saying all this is rotting garbage in his holy eyes.
Amen.
See, without faith, true faith in him, then we're just practicing all this false religion.
Amen.
Think of the millions and billions. I'm saying billions, not millions anymore. The billions we give and we spend on holidays and parties and decorations, but we forget about God.
Amen.
He's not in the middle of it. People celebrate Xmas because they don't want Christ. They don't want to think about Christ in Christians. You don't write Xmas. Do you? I hope you understand you're just crossing out Christ. That's what that is. And so it's not all about the birth of Christ. It's all about them. It's all about how they feel and what they want, how make them feel good. We may even go through Easter and the Passover and the deliverance of Israel and have all these things. But are we truly placing in our faith in the God who delivered them? Amen.
Amen.
How about some that still observe the feasts of the Old Testament and the festivals? And they miss the whole point that it's not just to observe the feast. It is to worship the Creator, the Deliverer, the Sustainer, the Savior of the world. And he said, all those things I fulfilled. We're not to continue in them anymore.
Amen.
So are we going to believe him and follow him or still worship in the Old Testament? That's where a lot of people are, even in our country. Instead of focusing on God, they focus on the feast. Or on themselves. Verse 15. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Isn't that where we're at? You see, God has no room for this type of false religion.
Amen.
If we decide to do it ourselves, he will let us try. That's what he's saying. But he's not going to have any part of it. He will not even look. We're actually, God's going to turn his face away from people. That's what he says here. He's going to turn his face away. That means when he turns his face away, we're without hope. We are lost. He's no longer caring for us. We will desperately need his guidance and direction. We will need his correction and discipline. But if we will not receive his Jesus, then we have no hope. We're going to perish. Even when people cry, he's not going to listen. Until they repent and come to Christ.
Amen.
He's saying our hands are covered with blood here. Blood of the innocent. I still believe we need to go back and murdering of babies, every innocent babies every day. That's blood. That's blood on our hands. There is still, they're opening doors to murder the aged and the infirmed as well. This is also murder, euthanasia. And so, we ought not to say, well, we ought to be tolerant to these people, and it's the law of the land, so we got to obey. No, it's not. You don't have, listen, if they're against God, you can't obey it. What did Peter say? We ought to obey God rather than man, and we may have to suffer for it someday.
Amen.
What about TV now promoting homosexuality and transgenderism? What about the schools, teachers, administrators pushing this stuff, trying to keep the parents in the dark? We need to understand the blood of innocent is on our hands. Can we do anything about it? Is there any hope? Can we return? I believe we still, if God's given us life and breath, we can still return to God. We can still return to our godly foundation as a nation.
Amen.
And so we see a pathway back to God.
Amen.
We see a pathway back to righteousness right here. Let's go in our text to verse 16. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings. Be from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. Amen.
Amen.
And really, God's calling us to repentance. See, it's a biblical requirement that many do not understand. Second Chronicles, go there. You know the text. Hold your finger here. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 and 15. It's a call to repentance. And it says very clearly, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. Amen. There is a way back. It's called repentance. We need to do it in humility. We need to pray. We need to seek God's face. We need to turn from our wicked ways, our evil behavior. And aren't you thankful what he says right there in that verse? He will hear us, he will forgive us, and he will heal us. Amen. That's not my plan. That's not the Baptist plan. That's not the Jewish plan or any other. That's God's plan. Amen. And his plan is the most important plan there is.
Amen.
His will is much more important than our petty plans could ever be. Amen.
Amen.
And so God's calling us back. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings. From before mine eyes, cease to do evil. Verse 17. Learn to do well. Amen. Learning. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Learn to do good. Learn to do well. And so God knows how far we have strayed from his teachings, how far we have strayed from his word, and we need to get back to that. Brethren, we need to get back to doing a good work in America as a church and as citizens and as teachers and preachers and pastors. Amen.
Amen.
We need to seek judgment and justice, not political correctness. We don't need some sort of touchy-feely equality for all. Seek justice and judgment for all. Justice is based on law. Justice is based on God's law, the judgment of God and not man's. God's precepts, not the Supreme Court's thoughts and decisions on the matter, but God's decisions on the matter.
Amen.
That's what's important.
Amen.
They're sinners. They make mistakes. And they will be called into judgment for that. But we need to follow God's word. And you know what? As we learn today, you not only have God's word, you have God's presence to guide you.
Amen.
But then he says, help those who are oppressed. We need to help those that are under attack and chained by others. You know, that's what our wars were fought for, to free the oppressed, to help the oppressed. But here in America, we need to protect those who cannot protect themselves.
Amen.
Listen. There's hundreds and thousands of children in America being trafficked. They are lonely. They're abused. And again, put your money where your mouth is. Do you know that there are valiant Christian organizations and also groups that rescue trafficked children? Learn about it. Get involved. Support it. I want to sign up. I'll go. Judge the fatherless. You know, God has a wonderful heart for the orphans and the fatherless and the widows. We need to get back to the heart of God. We need to have that in our heart. Amen. Children have a special place in God's heart. The orphans have a special place in God's heart. The widows have a special place in God's heart. And we know that God will fight for them, but we need to stand for them. We need to fight for them. Let's help those who are in need. The young, the old, the infirm, the unjustly treated must be restored into an active and functional part of our society. Go to James. Hold your finger here. You know the verse. James, I believe it's chapter 1. I didn't look it up per se. Verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Amen.
Amen.
That connects it very clearly to us as a church. Verse 18. Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Brethren, there's an invitation here. God, aren't you thankful? It doesn't matter how stained you are with sin, how filthy you are with sin, how filthy you've become as an individual, or how filthy our country is. There is forgiveness with God.
Amen.
But this forgiveness is available only from Him.
Amen.
There is no other way in heaven or earth to be forgiven except through the faith in Jesus Christ and the blood of Christ. You need to repent from your sin. Place your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. God can restore America beyond the best that it's ever been. Amen. Isn't that amazing? We can know new levels of joy, of prosperity, of hope, if we repent as a nation and return unto Him. Verse 19 and 20 are the last verses. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Brethren, here's the call. Let's get back to wholehearted obedience unto God, wholehearted following the Lord, wholehearted, you know, sold out for Jesus, sold out for the Word of God, preaching the truth, living the truth, standing as salt and light in America, being what we need to be. And listen, God says if we're willing, if we're obedient, we will never suffer and go hungry. God's going to supply our bounty. God's going to meet our needs. But if you refuse and rebel, there's the choice. Repent or rebel. What's the choice? Do you see? This is the final warning. If America does not return to God and listen to His word, we will falter, we will fail, and we will be destroyed. God has spoken. What is the choice? Repent or rebel? We need God back in America. Will you stand with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we bow before you, Father, we know how important this call is to us today. Father, our hearts are saddened and sickened by the sin around us. Father, help us. God, we want to make a difference. We know, Lord, that our voice is so small and faint compared to the multitudes of people. But Father, help us to do what we can, where we can, when we can, what you've called us to do. Father, your will today in the church, your will today in America, that we would be obedient, that we would be willing, that we would submit to you, that we would surrender to you, that we would truly want to be used and want to make a change in America, in this world. We know, Father, that our missionaries that we support and send around the world, Father, if we go under, where will they get their support? Where will they get prayer support and financial support? Father, we know that a lot is at stake today. And Father, we need a working of God in our hearts, a working of God in our neighborhoods, a working of God in our community, in our city, in our country. Father, help us. But let it begin with us. Lord, we don't want to be apathetic. Father, we want to be committed. We want to be involved. We want to do something for you. Father, open up our eyes. Help us to see what you want us to see and help us to get busy doing the work of God in this world. Father, speak to us today by the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. What's God doing? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Brethren, if my people, let it start with us. Amen. How committed are we? How much are we willing to give, to sacrifice, to go, to get involved in really saving souls, from eternal hell and saving our country from eternal damnation. Brethren, it's a mission, amen? Let's not think they're separated. We live in America. We serve God in America. We preach here. We live here. We work here. So this is where we need to serve God. Amen. And we need to get busy. I hope you don't say, well, bless God, preacher. That's a good message for them. I hope you say, that's a good message for me. I want to take this to heart. I want to change. I want to serve the Lord. Let God work in your heart. Father, have your will and way in our lives, in our church, in our country. Continue to speak in to us, Lord, throughout this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to turn this off quickly and give a few announcements.